I don't know. All that I know is that when I read it, I liked it. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Now these sheets with the Mamari Chazal, one page, on the second page, we had done Al Tiruni Shani Shechachoret Sheshizofatni Hashemesh. And even if I am Ko'ohale Kedar, you see all of those underlined, the tents of Kedar, I can be like the curtains of Shlomo. And we showed the development of our rabbis as the rabbis went from one step to the next. Either that the tents of Kedar are black and the curtains of Shlomo are white. Even though I look to you as soiled and as tainted as the tents of Kedar, the nomads in the desert, I can easily become like Ohalei Kedar, like the Yiriyot Shlomo. I can be cleansed and washed and be like the curtains of Shlomo. There was a second shot where Chazal said, even when you look at the tents of Kedar that are black on the outside, but you should know there is such beauty on the inside. And even if you see a Talmud Chacham who looks, schwach, eyes geweicht, eyes gedart, you understand, but you should know that there's a tremendous amount inside. And then the rabbis went on to say that all Kedar are beautiful. The black tents of Kedar, there's a beauty because they're free. They can go wherever they want. And in times to come, Jews are not going to have any foreign yoke upon them. They will be free to roam and do as they please, just as the tents of Kedar. And then Chazal even went on to say that, wait a minute, the curtains of Shlomo, I'm not so high, they get dirty too. And you know what happens when the curtains of Shlomo get dirty? You wash them. But what was the whole idea? The whole idea is that Klal Yisrael is saying to the nations of the world, don't look down upon me because it seems as though there's some kind of a distance between myself and God that can easily be rectified. Though I be like the tents of Kedar, I can become like the curtains of Shlomo. As Chazal had said, on Shchora, on Nivinova, I am black and beautiful. I am black all the days of the week, but Nova, I'm beautiful on Shabbos. I am black a whole year, but then I become white on Yom Kippur when God forgives my sins. Alright. Now, Bnei Imi Nicharubi, the sons of my mother, they incited me against God. And Somuni Noteira et Hakramim, they made me guard the vineyards, the Karmi Shali, and my own vineyard I did not guard. And that was the last thing I believe we were talking about. The idea that Jews throughout history have contributed to every major society in extremely significant ways, whether it was in the arts, in the sciences, as playwrights and as novelists, as philosophers, as physicists. That's represented by the idea that I'm guarding everybody else's vineyard, but I'm not guarding my own vineyard. And Bnei Imi Nicharubi, the rabbis learned Bnei Imi Nicharubi, meaning my own people are the ones who incited me against God. Bnei Imi, Imi coming from the word Uma, my own nation. that there are times at which the people of my own nation, they are the ones who have incited me against God. Now, if you have that page that says a chet at the top, all right, says a chet at the top. In the middle, it says Bnei Imi. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says Bnei Imi, the sons of my mother. Bnei Umati, the sons of my nation, my Uma. Elu Datan Vaviram. Datan Vaviram. The classic, much, much worse than troublemakers. The classic people from within our own midst. You may remember a number of shiurim that I've given over the years on Datan Vaviram, that they appear so often in Torah. They are the first ones that appear when Moshe Rabbeinu goes out over Egypt, when he's still the prince of Egypt. And they are the ones who, even in the most difficult of all times, they betray Moshe to Paro. And I explained that, it was a lengthy explanation, the idea that Torah wants to tell us, don't be surprised if some of the greatest danger to the Jewish people may come not only from enemies from without, but may very well come from enemies from within, and that this unfortunately has been there has been tragically true in Jewish history throughout, beginning with Dasam Vaviram Nicharubi. Rabbi Meir goes on to say Dasam Vaviram Nicharubi Nizgarubi. They started up with me and they caused God to be angry. Nicharu, from Charon Af, anger. Maluet Abdayin Charon Af Alai, they filled the judge of the whole world, they filled him with anger upon me. So Muni Noterot Akronim Achoyo Moshe Osa Din Ben Benotav Shedizu. What a fascinating idea this is. So Muni, they made me the guardian of the vineyard to the point that Moshe had to flee from Egypt, and then he is the one who has to judge between the daughters of Yisro and those who want to stop them from watering their sheep. We needed Moshe in Mitzrayim. Shouldn't he have been here? And why does he have to flee? He has to flee only because of Dasan Vaviram. Hadohu, that's what it means. Karmi Shali Lonatarti. I did not guard my own vineyard. Moshe Rabbeinu, we need him here. But he has to flee because Dasan Vaviram have told Paro that he had killed the Mitzri. The next one, Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, "Bnei Imi, Bnei Umati, the ones who caused anger were amongst my own." Elu Hameraglim, another classic group who caused such difficulty for the Jewish people throughout all of history. So Muni Notero, they made me guard the vineyards of Chutz Laretz because we had to remain another 38 years in the desert. Al Shinit Akafti Bamidbar Men Beit Masaot Lo Hoyuli Lo Havali Likonis Eretz Yisrael. Shouldn't have we been able to go directly into Eretz Yisrael? And because of them, we didn't. Hado, that's what it means. Karmi Shali Lo Notarti. I didn't guard my own vineyard. I should have been in Eretz Yisrael already, working in order to develop my own land and my own people. And so the Gemara is going to, the Medrash is going to go on, and they're going to talk. The next Maimon Chazal is going to talk about Yerovam ben Nevat. Yerovam ben Nevat, of course, is the one who caused a Jewish people to sin. And then Achav, they go to Achav and they go to Izebel, because they're learning Bnei Imi Nicharubi means that my great suffering and maybe a great deal of my travail came from within my own people. It comes from within my own people. Alright, now we're on page 10. That's the Chris, Pet, yeah. Believe me, I'm getting... okay. Pet, that's the second sheet. Here, there are two psukim in which the girl says to the shepherd, Hagidol isha ava nafshi, tell me, the one whom I love, where are you going to graze your sheep? Take a look for the tet in the left-hand corner. Look for the tet in the left-hand corner. And now, and then the psukim that we're learning are, Hagidol isha ava nafshi, you whom I soul loves, Echotire, where are you going to graze your sheep? Echotarbits, where are you going to lie them down? Batsoharayim, in the afternoon. At the time, as Rashi said, when it's very hot. And that represents the idea of how are Jews going to survive the gullahs just as sheep? How are they going to survive the heat of day beating down on them? Shaloma ehye ke'otia. Why shall I be like I am in mourning al edrecha beirecha, by the flocks of your friends? And Rashi had explained that edrecha beirecha means, take a look, chaveirecha are the other gods in the world, the other nations in the world. They seem to be thriving and developing. I mean, I imagine there were times in history when it was so, and but we've always been the odd men out. We've always been those who were persecuted, and so she is saying, why should we be singled out for such suffering, and the others just go through history? So here, al edrei chaveirecha, on the next. Right up here, al edrei chaveirecha, al edrei chaveirecha, on the page of the letter Tet, on that page, the top line, in the words of the rabbis, huh? What? Torah Tumina, right. Oh, good, good. Okay. Torah Tumina. Al Edrei Chaveirecha. I want to show you a beautiful way our rabbis look at it. Rashi, as we said, explained that the flocks of your friends are the nations of the world. Chazal say, Al Edrei Chaveirecha, Kishani Holech Eitzel Chaveirecha. Recha, when I go to your friends, the Yishaluni, and they're going to ask me, Al Edrehem, about their flocks, Ma'ani Mishivan, what do I answer them? Let me explain what this means. Torah Tmim explains what's happening over here. Who are God's friends? God's friends are Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Gedolei Yisrael. You know what Klal Yisrael is saying here? Why is all of this happening? Shaloma ehye ke'etya, why will I be like in mourning? Al edrecha beirecha, by the flocks of your friends, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I'm going to give you another medrash, and with that other medrash, we will read this one line again. And you're going to understand exactly what the Medrash is saying. I'm using another Medrash. A Medrash, I would say, that has always haunted me. Since I learned the Medrash many years ago, it has haunted me. The Medrash says the following. On the day of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, God called to Yirmiyahu, and he tells Yirmiyahu, do you know how I feel today? Like a father on the day that he's taking his firstborn son to the chuppah, the son dies. Can you imagine? Very difficult to imagine a greater tragedy than that. And then he says, where are my friends? Where are my kohanim? where are the people who will cry with me on this day? He doesn't see anybody crying with him. So he tells Yirmiyahu, go to the Ma'arah Samachpelah and wake up Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I want them to cry with me today. Says Miyad, immediately, Yirmiyahu ran to the Ma'arah Samachpelah and he wakes up Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he says to them, Aten Mikbakshin, you are being summoned before the Almighty, blessed be He. So they said to him, why? And Yirmiyahu answers, I don't know. But he does know. He knows God wants those who will cry with him. Yirmiyahu didn't say the truth. Ah, so the Medrash says, you know why? You know why Yirmiyahu didn't say the truth? Because he was afraid that they would say to him, Biyamecha hoysa libonenu zos, this happened to our children in your days. Yirmiyahu was afraid that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov would turn and point the accusing finger. Four words. Biyamecha haita libanenu zot, in your days this happened to our children? Yirmiyahu is afraid. There's a little story to this medrash. Before Netanyahu made one of his visits to the United States, the fact is it was the visit at which he was going to negotiate at White Plantation. It was right after Sukkot. And before he left, he wanted to see Rav Avram Shapiro. They were in touch with me. Rav Avram wanted me to be one of the rabbis who would be present there. It took place in the Sukkot of Rav Avram Shapiro. And Netanyahu comes there. When the meeting is over, and the reason why he wanted to see Rav Avram, because during all of the years that he was in the opposition, we would meet with him once a month, once every 5-6 weeks. Anyway, I asked permission to speak after the when the meeting was coming to a close. And I said, Mr. Prime Minister, Bivchit Betach, I just want to tell you, with your permission, I want to tell you a medrash. And I said this medrash about Yirmiyahu, that Yirmiyahu was afraid to tell Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov why they are being summoned before the Almighty, because today is Churban HaBayit. Because he was afraid that they would say to him, Biyamecha haita libanenu zot, in your days has happened to our children. So I said that there's something very fascinating that we learn from the medrash. I had always thought that for whatever we do, the judgment of history is, what will my children or my Einekloch or the next generation say? The judgment of history is going to come later, maybe even sometimes much later. So I say, you know what this medrash is telling us? By Klal Yisrael, it's not so. You are being judged instantly, because you know who's judging you? We're an eternal people. You know who's judging you? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They're going to ask the question, Biyamecha haita levanenu zot, this, in your days, this happened to our children? We don't have the luxury of doing something, and then, well, you know, let's see how the chips will fall. And you know, maybe when one has already long passed from the scene, history will begin to judge him. No, that may be by nations, but by us it's not so. Yirmiyahu is frightened of the judgment of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, instantly, immediately. So I said to him, you're not going to be judged by your children or grandchildren. You know who's going to judge whatever it is that you may be doing? 3,500 years of Jewish history. Klal Yisrael is going to be judging what you're going to do. Judgment is instant. Judgment takes us back to all of Jewish history. That's what Chazal is saying here. Al edrecha veidecha. Let's read it now. Kishami holech etzel chaveirecha. When I go to your friends Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, v'yish oluni, and they will ask me al edrehen, about their flock, their children. Ma mi meshivam. What am I going to answer? Namish, the same idea as that medrash. Shalom o'er yekeotia. Why shall I be suffering and in mourning when I come to Edrei Chaveirecha, as Chazal here are now saying, Chaveirecha, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, when I come to them, and they're going to ask me, so what happened to Klal Yisrael in your days? What happened to them? Here also the Medrash is saying, the judgment of history, instant. We don't have the luxury of feeling that, by the time history will judge me, they will already have forgotten all of my mistakes anyway. They'll be worried about new kalyakis, that I'm messing everything up, and I'll get off easy in history. No. It's a completely, our approach is completely different. All right, let's see. Okay. We are now watch, I'm going to give you instructions. We are up to Pasuk Tes. Pasuk 9. On these sheets, we're going to learn the Psukim to the end of the chapter with the Rashi. Take your Rashi sheets. You're doing very well. I'm shepping knackers from you all. Lesusasi. Lesusasi birichve paro. Come on, we gotta finish this chapter today. Lesusasi birichve paro dimitich ra'ayati. By the way, if you can keep everything in order over here, and you can look at the English the English translation that you now have in front of you. I compare you, O my love, to a mare of the chariots of Pharaoh. How was your Rashi? I said, Lesusasi berichve paro dimipich ra'ayati. Let's read the Rashi first. Remember, our basic perish is the Rashi. Lesusasi berichve paro. Dimitich rayati. Lamed zu, kimo lamed lekol tito hamonayim, ukimo lamed lereyash manecha. Lit watch, likutzat susim harbei, shosafti machanotai, latzet litrateich, vidirbei paro lahoshie. Then the Rashi is telling us that we're talking about Jewish history. Right now, this chapter is talking about the Exodus from Egypt. Lesusasi, who's speaking in this pasuk? Dimitich rayati, my beloved, I have compared you. That means it is the dod, the lover, who is speaking. Who is the lover? This is God. You'll have to watch each pasuk as we move from one to the next. Lesusasi v'rechve paro. We're talking about the chariots of paro. Lesusasi means a group, or it's a singular that means a mass of horses. I went out with my horses, God says, against the chariots of Paro. There's a pasuk in Habakkuk we see where he talks about coming right here. The many horses of my camp, God is saying, let's say Mikratek to go out toward you, Birichve Paro, against the chariots of Paro, Lahoshiech, in order to save you. Kemoshe Nema, as Habakkuk says, Dorachto Bayam Susecho. God treads with his horses into the sea. The description as God, Hashem Ish Milchama. I don't know how many divisions the Pope has, but I do know how many divisions the Rabbeinu Shlom has. The Rabbeinu Shlom has all the divisions in the world. And Shlomo HaMelech is saying over here, L'susasi, I, God, brought all of my horses against Rikvei Paro, the chariots of Paro. Kimo Shanema, Dorachto Biyam Susecho, your horses tread Biyam. Susi Harbe, men, L'susasi is a singular, it means many horses. Shom Dimitich Dayati, the word Dimitich, Dima can have two meanings. One is silence, or I silenced you. Famous, what's the example? Vayigom Aaron. Aaron's two children die. Vayigom Aaron. Aaron remains silent. So the word, or Amod Gom, you know, stand silently at attention. So the word Dom, Dimitich, can mean silence. So God is saying, when I brought my horses against the chariots of Paro that were racing toward the sea in order to destroy you, Dimitich, I silenced you. Because the pasuk over there says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, God will wage war for you, Batem Tacharishon, you remain silent. Now is not a time to pray, now is a time to fight and to move. L'susasi b'dichvei Paro, Rashi's learning, as I came with all of my horses against the chariots of Paro, I silenced you and I said, don't worry, I'm going to take care of this battle. This is my battle. Shenema, as it says, Shitaktich mitzakoteich, I silenced you from your cries. Shenema, as it says, Vatem tacharishun, you remain silent. Zot ra'iti b'sifrei agada, Rashi says, this I saw in the Sfarim of the agada. Dovar acha, and you know why? Because the fact is, Rashi understands that's not the real pshat in the pasuk, and I think Rashi brings it first simply because it's a beautiful, beautiful pshat in the pasuk. But the word dimitich also comes from the word domeh, to be compared to. I compared you. Tavaracha, another psapa, she says, Dimitich Rayati, Shom had eighty lakol Sherayatiyat. There I showed everybody that you are my beloved. I compared you, I demonstrated the whole world that you are my beloved. Yes. Dimitich, by Kriyat Yamsuf, by the Yamsuf, there Dimitich Rayati, there I showed them that you are like the my most beloved. The Susasi, Rashi says, Kvutza Susim, a group of horses who belosh in Laz, I mean, it's some conjugation of cavalier, cavalry, horses. Alright. Dimitir, so it brings another word in French, Kamo Oti Dimula Harog, they wanted to kill me. How did I show the whole world at the Yam Suf that you are my beloved? Kisham kishapetich b'kishutim na'im, because there I adorned you with all sorts of beautiful adornments. And Pasuk Yud Aleph, he describes the adornments. Novu lechoyayich, your cheeks are beautiful with strings, batodim, lines. You know, have you seen? By Svardin they have it, you know, a Kala has all of these things coming down her forehead. Torim are lines of all sorts of jewelry or pearls. Savoreich, your neck has charuzin, has necklaces around. Torei Zohav Naselach, we're going to make lines of jewelry made out of gold in Kudot HaKesef, and it's going to have spots of silver. Ad Shahamelech V'Mesipo. What's he describing here in these three psukim? Lesu Sasi B'dich V'Paru Dimiti Chayati Novu L'Chayayet V'Tar Magmantina. I'm going to put all sorts of adornments on you. You're going to look gorgeous. You're going to look beautiful. Ad Shahamelech V'Mesipo. While the king is at his feast, it made most probably he's talking about the wedding. The girl and the king are marrying. Nirdi Natan Reicho. Nerd is a bosom. How do you say bosom in English? Perfume. Or better word. Yeah, this is 25 years you forget English. It takes 25 years to forget English. Nirdi, my scent. No, but it's a particular, no. Nirbi is a particular kind of, Nair is a, my nard, N-A-R-D, not nerd, nard, N-A-R-D, sent forth its fragrance. Nard is the name of there's one word that I'm trying to get out. A spice? A sweet, scented spice. Okay. There must be one word, but at least with these three, I think I'm getting across the idea. Let's see the Rashi. Novel Chayayich Batodin. Your cheeks are beautiful with these lines of jewelry coming down them. Shurot nizmei ozen. Now they can be coming from all sorts of places. It can be lines, rows of earrings. Umitzchat zahav, and that which comes on the forehead. Lines, rows. Savareich becharuzim, and your neck has necklaces. Anakei zahav, necklaces of gold. Umargoliot charuzot v'ptilei zahav shel bizat hayam, and here there are all sorts of pearls, and they are threaded together with gold thread. What is he describing here? Rashi says he's describing over here the great wealth the Jews received at the Red Sea. The Egyptians had come with a great deal of their wealth that was all left there for the taking. That was bizat hayam, the spoils that were theirs at the Yam Suf. Torei Zohav Nasaloch, Nimlachnu, Rashi says, Nimlachnu Ani Uvei Dini, I and my heavenly court decided, Lifnei Bo Paro. Of all he has to explain, before Paro came, before he left Mitzrayim to pursue the Jewish people, I and my heavenly court decided, Sha'ashienu, I am going to entice him. I'm going to seduce him to go out. V'achazeket libo, I'm going to strengthen his heart. L'rdof acharayet, to pursue you. And you know how he's going to go out? And it seems this was one of the things that the great kings used to do, to bring all their wealth with them. In kol shavach ginze yotzrosav, with all of the praiseworthy hidden parts of his treasures. He came throughout the history of Bayit Rishon. This great wealth was at times taken from the Jewish people. Jewish people took it back. There was a great amount of wealth that was called Bizat Mitzrayim. Why? Kedei shenaseloch. So from that we shall make for you Torei Kishutei Hazov, those rows of golden jewelry. In Nekudat HaKesef, Shehoyah B'yad HaKvar, he says the Tzafet. The Nekudat HaKesef, those things were made of silver, that's what they took with them when they came out of Egypt. What's being added now is gold. And the purpose of this is to demonstrate that what Jews received at the Yam was far, far greater than that with which they left Egypt. That God is adding more. It's like the Nadin. It's the Nadin before the Bechasana. I'd rather tell me that, for the work you have to give so much and so much. For the engagement you have to give so much and so much. And in the Yichud room, Freitnisht, I understand, you have to give a necklace in the Yichud room. Oh! Savareich Bechavuzim is already the Yichud room. And Torah Zov Nasalach and Nekudas HaKesed, this is showing the Chasana, the Sheva Brachas, whatever it is. In the Shahoya Biyot Chokva, Shahotzei Tomi Mitzrayim, the silver is what you took out of Egypt. Shegedola, Chazal say this, Shegedola Haita, Bizat Hayami, Bizat Mitzrayim, the spoil of the, at the sea was greater than the spoil of Egypt. Nekudot, Kli Kesef Menukadim, Umitsuyadim, Becharburot, Vigonim. Nekudot HaKesef means, objects that are made out of silver and have all sorts of engravings on them with all sorts of things that are embedded in it. Those are the Nekudot HaKesef. Ad Shehamelech B'Misibo. Rashi says this pasuk Yud-Bet is not the Rebbein Shalom speaking, this is Klal Yisrael speaking. That here was this great relationship. We're talking about a relationship that close, chosen, kala, marriage. It didn't last. Ad, until Hamelech b'Misibo, the king is in his at his feast. Look at the Rashi. Meshiva Knesset Yisrael v'Amerit, the Jewish people respond and say, Kol Zemeth, everything you're saying is true. The beauty of what you gave us. Tovo Gemaltani, you did for me good. Vani Gemalticha Ra'a. But I responded and reacted and did that which was bad. Ki od hamelech al ha-shulchan. Misibat chupato, while the king is still sitting at the feast of his wedding, nirdi nosam recho. It's fascinating how Rashi explains this. How the simple translation is nirdi, this sweet scented spice, natan recho, gave out its beautiful scent. It's all a euphemism. It's all a euphemism. You know what she's really saying? I did something that gave off a terribly bad odor. Instead of using that kind of term, you know what I did? I made Diego. You understand? It is by the chasana and already unfaithful. Klal Yisrael is at Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu is in heaven, they're waiting for him to come down, and they are unfaithful. Nirdi Natan Recho, the Ner gave out its beautiful scent. Chiluf Lahavish. This is in place of the word Lahavish, which means something that gives off a noisome and bad odor. Ba'od Shaschina B'Sinai, while the divine presence was still at Sinai, Kilkalti Ba'egel. Last side, Kilkalti Ba'egel. I made the mistake of making the egel. Ulashon Chiva, it's written, even Israel's sin is written in a form of love. Instead of saying it out, how ugly it was. The term that's used is the sweet-smelling scent was given forth. Kosav HaKosav, the Pasuk wrote, Matan Recho, the scent, V'lo Katav Hiv Ish O Hisriya. The Pasuk didn't write that it rotted or that it gave off a terrible odor. L'fisha Diber HaKosav V'lo Shon Nikiya, because the Pasuk talks in clean, pure language. So precisely the opposite is meant. Pasuk Yud Gimel, she's still speaking. It's Klal Yisrael speaking. Tzror Hamor Dodi Li. Mor is another something that has myrrh, has a beautiful scent. A bundle of myrrh, Dodili, my beloved, is unto me. What she's going to say now is, despite the fact that I sinned, he forgave me. Not only he forgave me, but he also gave me the opportunity to do something that will demonstrate that he still loves me, and that I have now the opportunity to gain full atonement. He told me to make the Mishkan. We who had made the Egel were told to make the Mishkan. So Tzror Hamor Dodi Li, my beloved became unto me like one who is a bundle of beautiful, sweet-smelling myrrh. Bein Shaddai Yolin, and between my breasts he lies. Shaddai, Rashi explains, means the Aron. The ark in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, the ark, there were two staves, the two sticks that held it, they protruded out from the parochet. Here is the parochet, and here are the two staves. That's the Aron. Watch the Rashi. Tzror Hamor Dodi Li. Dodi Nasili, my beloved, became to me Kamish Yeshlo. Tzror Hamor Becheko. It's like he has a bundle of beautiful smelling myrrh. And he said to me, Hadei Lecho Tzror Zeh, take this. Sheyitain Reach Tov Min Harishon Sheyivadata. In a sense, it's like since the Egel caused them to give off a bad odor, he's giving them a deodorant. He's giving them a Tzror Hamor in order to remove the ugliness of the Egel. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nisrat Al Yisrael Al Maaseh HaEgel, so the Rebbe Yisrael also. He forgave the Jewish people for having made the Egel. U'motzo Lehem Kapora Al Avonam, and he found for them a source of forgiveness for their sin. V'Omer, and he said, Hitnadvu LeMishkan, give donations to the Mishkan. The gold of the Mishkan will be a source of forgiveness for the gold of the Egel. By the way, this week's Seder, what am I thinking about? This week's Seder, the beginning of the Seder is Torah Aduma. So Rashi brings the Maimon Chazal that says, Tavo Ima, the Pora Utenakeh, and cleanse the filth of her calf. The calf is the Egel HaZahav, and now the Pora Aduma is going to be another means by which there will be forgiveness for the sin of the Kelbala. Tavo Ima, let the mother come Ulekaneah at Tzoadbina, and to clean the waste of her child. Bein Shaddai Yolin, between my breasts he lies. Ava Pishe Ma'alti Bo, though I sinned against him. Omar Lishkonsham, he said he's going to dwell there. Bein Shaddai, Bein Shnei Badei Haron, the two staves of the Aron. And then Pasuk 14, Eshkol HaKofer. Kofer is also a spice. Eshkol HaKofer means a cluster of kofer. Dodi Li. Yes?
It says here henna, and that could also relate to the red cow, the henna.
Oh, that's very interesting. Because for Aduma, you have to have, what did you have to have? An azo? There are a number of things you have to take with it. All right.
Henna.
Huh?
Color. Henna. And the color of the cow.
Well, what's the color of henna?
Red.
The color of henna is red.
It's a red hyphen.
I mean, you really know something called henna? I mean, you've seen it? Look what I've learned over here. You mean that red, sparty stuff is not natural? Yeah. Henna. 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 Okay. All right. Good.
Eshkol HaKofet, wait a minute, come on, we're coming to the end of the chapter. Eshkol HaKofet Dodili, it's her, Jewish people speaking, like a cluster of henna, Dodili, my beloved is to me. Now just notice that in this word henna, in Hebrew, it's called kofer. What word do you already sense in kofer? Kapara, Yom HaKippurim, Eshkol HaKofet Dodili, Bekarne Ein Gedi. In the vineyards of Ein Gedi. By the way, I don't know how I'll ever be able to do it, but it, certainly beginning here, and then once we move into the second chapter, the sights, the scents, the nature of Eretz Yisrael comes bursting forth in Shir HaShir. It's absolutely amazing. Certainly whoever wrote this knew the plants, the flora, the fauna, the wildlife of Eretz Yisrael. So much. It's all going to come. It begins now, but it's going to burst through in the next chapter. Bekami Ein Gedi, and of course in the vineyards of Ein Gedi, what does Rashi say? Eshkol HaKofet. Yesh bosem sheshmo kofet. There is a perfume that's called kofer, kemo, keforim im nerodim. This is going to be a pasuk later. Kofer and ner. We read about kofer and ner. V'osui, and it's made ka'ein eshkolot. It's made like clusters. V'karmi Ein Gedi. In the vineyards of Ein Gedi, Rashi says, Shem Mokom. It's the name of a place. V'sham hu motsui. That's where you can find kofer. V'ra'isi v'argada. I saw in a medrash, and Rashi is going to use this medrash very beautifully, that in Ein Gedi there are a number of crops a year. It's not a place where one crop, but there are the fields or the vineyards of Ein Gedi have a number of crops a year. I saw in the Agadosh, Otan Kramim Osin Peirot Arbar Chamisha Ponim Hashana, they give out fruit 4 or 5 times a year. Ah, so you know what it means now? It means now the overwhelming amount of God's forgiveness. Time and time again, He forgave us. V'dugmehi, this is an allegory, l'kamo kaporos u'mechilos, how much forgiveness and atonement God forgave al kamo nisyonos shenisu b'midbar. Because, what did it say last week? Said by Yinasu Oti, they have already tested me 10 times, and God keeps forgiving the Jewish people. Eshkol HaKofer, a cluster of forgiveness, more forgiveness, more forgiveness, and all of this is, of course, an indication of God's love to the Jewish people. Pasuk Tetvav, who's speaking now? Hinoch Yofer Rayoti. My beloved, you're beautiful. In Pasuk 15, now it is the Dod who is speaking. Hinoch Yofer, you are beautiful. Einayich Yonin, your eyes are like doves. I'm going to finish to the end. Hinoch Yofer Dodi Afnoim, who's speaking now? She is now responding to him. You are beautiful, my beloved. Afnoim, also pleasant. Af arsenu ra'anana, our bed is fresh. Ra'anana, alright? Af arsenu ra'anana, which Rashi is going to explain that the freshness and the strength and the beauty of Jewish life is children who go in the way of their parents. Korod batenu arazim, the beams of our house are cedar wood. Rahitenu berotim, and the furniture in the house is made from cypress, either furniture or really our English says our rafters are of cypress. This is all the discussion, but I'm going to run through the Rashi fast. Hinach yofer ayofi, you are beautiful, my beloved. Ani ayiti bosha bekilkuli, I was ashamed of the terrible mistakes I made. The Egel, v'hu chizkani b'divrei ritzuyim, and he strengthened me with words that found favor. Loma, what did he say to me? Salachti kivarecha, I have forgiven as you say. V'hadeyat yofa v'yofa, and God keeps telling you, you are beautiful. Ki einayich yonim kloma. The Gemara says, kala sheinel ku'urim, a kala whose eyes don't look good. Kol gufa tzarech bedika. You have to check into her well. Sheinel ha'noim, but if her eyes are beautiful, ein gufa tzarech bedika. Her body does not have to be inspected. Vadug mezuhi. But he's saying over here, the allegory is, mochalti lach al avonecha, I forgave you, avonech, I forgave you your sin. V'hadei at yofet benas, it says twice in the pasuk, you are beautiful. Why does it say twice in the pasuk, hinach yofet ayati, hinach yofet, Yofa, you are beautiful with Naseh, you are beautiful with Nishma, Yofa b'maseh avos, you are beautiful with the deeds of your fathers, Yofa b'masecha, you're beautiful with your own deeds. You should know, by the way, when someday if you can get the totality of Shir HaShirim, there are going to be five, six places where he's going to talk about the sinners of the Jewish people. One of the fruits that appears a number of times in the text of Shir HaShirim is the rimon, the pomegranate. And Rashi uses the general explanation, what's the significance of rimon? Rimon has a lot of seeds in it. Afilu reikonim shebach, even those in your people who are empty, amalein mitzvos kerimon, are full of mitzvos like a rimon. The idea that every Jew has tremendous beauty. So here he says to her, your beauty with Naseh, your beauty with Nishma, beauty memasavis, ki einayich yonim. Who are the eyes? Why does he specifically point out the eyes? Because the eyes, for example, in Torah, einei ha'edah, the eyes of the community. Who are the eyes of the community? The tzaddikim, gedolei Yisrael. Ki einayich yonim, tzaddikim yesh biyadeich. You have tzaddikim shedovku bi kayona, who have always cleaved and clung to me like a dove. And the Gemara says about a dove that from the moment she meets her spouse, never leaves, remains absolutely faithful forever. Kishemakedet ben zuga, when she knows her spouse, einom manichenu, she is David Lecha, and she doesn't let him out of her sight. Kach vayosul of kol b'nei Levi lo tov egel. There were always those, even at the time of the egel, there were those who remained absolutely faithful to God. That was the tribe of Levi. V'od hinach yofe, you are beautiful b'melechet hamishkan, by making the mishkan shenema v'hinei osu oto, they made her by yivorech atam Moshe. Moshe blessed them. So we see shekil samalkach, that they were praised for having done this. And then she responds, okay, we'll go another minute. Pasuk 16 is her response. Hinach yofet dodi, you are beautiful. Afnoim lo ayofi shili, she says, no, I'm not the beautiful one. The beauty doesn't belong to me. Ela shelcha, it's yours. Ato hu ayofet, you are the beautiful one. Afnoim, you are pleasant. Why are you pleasant? Shavar ta'al pshay, you forgave my rebelliousness. V'shneita shunatcha b'tolchenu, and you brought down your presence to dwell in our midst. V'zehu kilus, he's praising Yedidat Ha'esh, the fire that comes down from heaven on the day of the dedication of the Mishkan. Vayar kol ha'om, the entire people saw Vayoronu, and they cried out in great joy. Afar senu ra'anon, our bed is fresh. Ayedei ni'imotecha, because of your pleasantness. Hinei ra'anon ar senu, our bed is fresh. Bibonenu ubinotenu, with our sons and our daughters, Shem Kulam Nikbatsim Elechapo, that all of them are gathered here to you, Shenema, Batikoh El Ha'eda, Batikoh El Ha'eda, HaMishkan. The Mishkan is called the bed where God dwells with the Jewish people. The totality of this chapter, and that last pasuk, of course, that describes a building, the building in which we are both found,
has taken us from Yitzhak Mitzrayim to the Yam Suf, to everything that God gives the Jewish people, Chet HaEgel, building of the Mishkan. And the next chapter is going to reach a point at which Yitzhak Mitzrayim itself is going to be described in such beautiful, beautiful way. And then we're going to keep going through Jewish history, one after another, with very, very beautiful ideas. To be continued. So I'm going to leave all of this in your hands. Huh? So, you know, you can put it down in the back, but you have to bring it next week.